The second piece of the armor he said here is having on the breastplate of what?
Righteousness.
Having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the second piece of the whole armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does the breastplate cover? Somebody tell me some of the things. Chest area. Heart. Right? Anything else you think of that might cover that's in this area? Right? All the vital organs. Right? You think about the fact that if you get shot in this chest area and you don't have nothing to protect you, there's a good chance probably something's going to be hit that you need, right? You think about here, he said, have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covered the chest area. It covered all the vital organs. It covered the heart. Amen. You think about, we need to guard our hearts. Amen. That's what the breastplate did. That was one of the things it did, was it would guard the heart of the soldier. Amen. In other words, if we're going to take and stand in the evil day, as the Bible says, if we're going to fight the battle in the way the Lord would have us to and not falter and not fail and not quit and not faint, we've got to take and guard our hearts. We've got to have that breastplate of righteousness on. We've got to make sure that in our hearts we are doing what's right. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that? Simply this, that sometimes we take and we do what's right, but we're not doing it wholeheartedly. Amen. Sometimes we might take and do what's right, but in our hearts, we're not really doing it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we take and you know, I remember as a little kid, sometimes mom and dad would tell me to do something, and I would do it on the outside. But the inside, Brother Gary, I was being rebellious. You say, but they told you clean up your room and you cleaned up your room. Yeah, I did. But you know what I was doing on the inside? Fussing and whining and complaining. I was being rebellious about it. I don't want to do that, blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever. And you think about simply the fact today we need to guard our hearts. Amen. The Bible talks about that one day our works are going to be judged when we get to heaven as God's children. And that be separated the wood, hay, and stubble from the gold and the precious stones. And we know the wood is going to set fire. And what's going to happen with the wood, hay, and stubble when you set fire to it? It burns up. It's gone. That's those things that we do with the wrong motives, with the wrong heart, right? For the wrong reasons. But the things we do for the Lord in the right way, those will stand and there'll be rewards for them. Amen. In other words, we need to guard our hearts. Amen. Make sure our hearts is in the right place. Don't allow the devil and his wiles to come in and steal your heart away. Amen. To steal your heart away, to take the heart out of what you're doing for the Lord. You think about if he can take and steal that heart out of what you're doing for the Lord, that joy, amen, that you have in your heart. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. If he can take the joy out of serving the Lord from your heart and from your life, guess what will happen before long? He'll take you out of doing it altogether. We've got to have on the breastplate of righteousness, of doing what's right. That is a joy to do what's right. That's a joy to do the righteous thing. That it's good to do what God wants you to do, and that you're happy about doing what God wants you to do. Amen. I found this quote this week that A.W. Tozier, some of you may be familiar with him or may not, but he was a preacher of years ago and wrote several books and things. But he said this, and it really spoke to my heart. It said, one of our greatest tasks is to demonstrate to the young people today of this generation that there is nothing stupid about righteousness. That's a pretty strong quote. But I think about how we need to do that. Amen. We need to realize there's nothing stupid about doing what's right. Amen. There's nothing stupid about doing what's righteous and what God says is the right thing to do. Many times people say, well, why should I wear that? That's stupid. That don't make sense to me. Because it's the right thing to do. Amen. Some people say, I think it's crazy to go to church every week. And it's crazy to sing these songs and not do this and not do that or to do this or that. Whatever, you fill in the blank. I think these things are crazy. No, it's what's righteous. Amen. It's what's right. Amen. That's part of the breastplate of righteousness today. Amen. Our greatest, he said, task, one of our greatest tasks is to demonstrate this fact. You think about righteousness is important. Amen. We ought to always do what's right, as Bob Jones said, till the stars fall. Right, Brother Brent? I know he heard that many times. Do what's right. When all else fails, what do you, still do what's right. Amen. Keep on doing what's right. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. To guard our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 is a good verse of Scripture that talks about the importance of this, I believe. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Amen. We ought to take and keep our heart. That word keep means guard. Amen. In other words, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. It takes diligence to have on that this armor. It takes diligence especially to have on the breastplate of righteousness and to cover your heart and cover your life with doing what the righteous and the right thing to do is. Amen. Because if not, instead you'll do what the flesh wants you to do. Amen. Instead you'll do what the world wants you to do or what everybody else is doing. We need to guard our hearts. Keep our heart with all diligence, he said. For out of that heart, for out of it, it says, are the issues of life. Amen. If you have issues in your life, sometimes it might be because you haven't guarded your heart. Amen. You think about if you have issues in the battle, you're losing. Maybe it's because you have not kept or guarded your heart. Because out of it, there's the issues of life. We need to guard and keep our hearts. Amen. If you want to survive in the battle and survive the issues and the things of life that come along, we've got to be covered with that breastplate of righteousness and do what's right and guard our hearts. And I thought about one of the best ways to guard, to keep our heart with all diligence, is found in Psalms 119 and verse number 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Amen. In other words, we want to guard our heart. We want to keep our heart. We want to have the breastplate on. We need to take and hide the Word of God in our hearts. Amen. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. You say, why do we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts to do what's right? Because I ask you a simple question to answer that. How do we know what's right to do? What the Bible says. Amen. That's how we know what's right to do. That's how we know the truth. How do we have our loins girt about with truth? Gird ourselves and surround ourselves with God's Word. The second piece of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, how do we know what's right to do? How do we cover our hearts and cover our chest in what's right? By being in God's Word. Amen? It's by the Bible. You think about it. He said, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." That's why we need to be in God's Word and study it and memorize it. Amen? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read a good many verses here, so if you'll turn with me. To 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I never saw this connection before until this week when I was doing some studying. And some of y'all may have saw this before. You may not have. It was something the Lord showed me that was a blessing to me. And I want to share this with you, how this all connects together. Sometimes we pull out verses about things, but we don't see why those things were said. What the backdrop, the backstory, the connection was with them, I guess I'm trying to say. 1 Thessalonians 4. Notice with me, he says here, if you will, in verse number 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." So who's he talking to? The saved, the brethren again, right? "Concerning them which are asleep." In other words, those that are dead. Amen. Y'all help me. We're going to work through these verses together for a second. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." In other words, he says, believers, when you have people that die, right? Guess what? Don't sorrow as others that think, well, they're dead and gone, right? I'm never going to see them again. They have no hope. You think about how different it is to go to a funeral, and some of us all have been there, from somebody that doesn't know the Lord and somebody that does. It's night and day, ain't it? You think about here, he said, those that have no hope. Notice verse 14. For if, what's that next word? We. So who's the we? The brethren, right? And Paul's including himself, the believers. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and of course they did, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring what? With him. In other words, he says, hey, he said, those that, if you believe in Jesus Christ that died and rose again, he said, those that sleep that are what? In Jesus. In other words, those that are dead but yet knew the Lord Jesus Christ and were in Him and them in Him, amen. Guess what? He said, hey, God's going to bring them with Him. Amen. Notice, let's keep reading on. He said, for this we say, again, notice we, Paul and those believers. He said, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God's word that He's telling them, that we, who's the we again? The believers. I'm doing all this for a reason. You'll see in just a minute. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now I'm going to stop right there. The we's talking about who? Paul and those believers, right? He said that we which are what? Alive and remain. So in other words, Paul was thinking what was going to happen. That he was going to be one of those because he said we, right? That him and those believers, some of them, were going to be the ones that what? Were alive and remain, right? Unto what? What does it say? Unto the coming of the Lord. That's talking about the rapture. In other words, Paul thought that him and those believers, some of them, were going to be what? Alive when the rapture took place. You say, why is that important? Because even back in Paul's time, what was he doing? Looking for the rapture. He thought, I'm not even going to see death probably. But the rapture is going to take place in my time. He was looking for the Lord to come. And so were these believers. Notice, let's read on. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Them. So in other words, Paul thought he was going to live, right? And not have to die because he said, them which are asleep. In other words, he thought he was going to live and see the Lord come back and see that rapture take place. He was looking for it. And I had this marked in my Bible, Brother Gary. Every time I read this verse, I think about you. I got Gary T. wrote right here. This was your favorite verse, you told me. Amen. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. In other words, those that were asleep, those thems that he's talking about in the verse before, them which are asleep, those that were dead in Christ, that were in Jesus, that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, what's going to happen one day? They're going to rise first when this trumpet sounds. Amen. They're going to be the first ones to go. Shall rise first. Now notice verse 17 real closely and you'll see why I'm doing all this stuff with these words. Then what? We. There it is again. In other words, he says, hey, Paul's saying, guess what? Them which are asleep, God's going to rapture them up first. And then we, which is me, Paul says, and you believers, we, then we going to do this. This is what Paul says we going to do. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those that are dead, that rise first, right? With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall, what's the word again? We ever be with the Lord. In other words, Brother Gary, Paul wasn't expecting to die, was he? He was expecting for the Lord to come back before he died at any minute, and that when he heard that trumpet sound, the dead in Christ was going to rise first to meet the Lord in the air, but then him and those others, the we, was going to follow. Amen. He was looking for the Lord to come back. Some people try to say, well, this, that, and the other's got to happen and all these things before the Lord can come back. Well, go tell that to Paul all this time back. Because he said, we. Him, he was looking for the Lord to come back. He was looking for the rapture to happen before he died. And he told these other believers, before most of y'all die, amen, the rapture's going to take place, we. So guess what? If he was looking for the rapture to take place all the way back then, then guess what we ought to be looking for today? The same thing. Amen. than we which are alive and remain, the Bible says. Notice verse 18. Wherefore, Paul says, because of this, comfort one another with these words. He's saying, hey, take comfort in the fact that you know those that are dead in Christ, you're going to see them again one day. Amen. But the second thing take comfort in is knowing that we are getting ready to get called out. And that then we're going to be together with the Lord and with those believers in heaven. You think about now, let's read on. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He says, there's no need for me to write unto you about the time and the seasons, when the Lord's going to come back, when's this going to take place. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as what? A thief in the night. In other words, that rapture is going to take place when what? A lot of people is least expecting it. Amen. May I clarify even more? I think when the lost least expect it. Amen. To a point. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Notice verse 3. For when they, that don't include Paul, right? If you say they, that's the other people, right? He's not the brethren that he's talking about in verse 1. The brethren, he said, hey, there's no need for me to tell you about the signs of the times because we're looking for him. We just saw that in the last chapter. But now he's saying, but those people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the theys, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say, peace and safety, oh, everything's okay, and Jesus ain't coming back, that ain't true. And don't people say that today? You've been waiting for it all these years and it ain't happened. See, it's not true. There's another verse that talks about that we could go to. But he says, then sudden destruction, sounds like that thief kind of, again, cometh upon them. Notice that. Those that are not saved. The lost, if you will. Not the brethren, not us, not we, Paul says, but on them. Notice, as travail upon a woman with child, and they, talking about the lost, shall not escape. Amen. In other words, what's he talking about here? In other words, those that are saved, they're going to go to heaven and be raptured out. Those that are dead in the grave, that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, what's going to happen? They're going to be raptured out. But there's some theys and thems that did not include Paul and the brethren, and they was going to have to go through a hard, hard time. And that time we call the tribulation period. And he goes into here saying, as travail that cometh upon a woman. And he closes verse 3 saying, they shall not escape. But now in verse 4 he goes back to talking to who again? The saved, the brethren. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness. In other words, it's not going to be like a thief in the night, darkness, for you. Why? Because you know the days. You know the Lord's coming back. You're looking for Him. Amen. The lost, they don't believe it. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. There it is again. He says, it's not going to surprise you. You're going to be looking. We know He's coming back. Ye are all the children of the light, talking to the saved here, the brethren, and the children of the day. We, that would be Paul and those believers. We're not children of the night, he says, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Don't fall asleep in the battle. Keep going for the Lord, as do others. But let us, Paul says, watch and be sober. What do you think he's watching for? Well, what chapter 4 said, why we read all those verses, for the Lord to come back. Amen. For the rapture to take place. He says, don't be sleeping. Jesus is coming back at any minute. Be ready. Amen. He says, let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But here's the verse we read that to get down to see the point of. But let us, Paul, the believers, let us, he tells them, who are of the day, be sober. Clear-headed. Amen. About this thing. Have a clear understanding about it. Putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. And we'll talk about the rest of this verse tonight. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. In other words, in verse 9, let's read it too. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, because we've escaped and delivered due to that rapture. but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, simply this morning I'm saying this, that breastplate is one of faith and righteousness, and it's what protects us. Amen? It's what protects and guards our heart. I don't know about you this morning, but I say this, and we'll go to the next point, which is a short one, that I believe one of the things that helps keep me right, and probably some of you right, or if we do sometimes are not right like we ought to be, it's because we know the Lord could come back at any minute. That's one of the biggest things that keeps me right. Amen? All my life I've heard and believed and know it's true from Scripture that the Lord could come back at any minute. And how many times have maybe you got ready to do something that you shouldn't have did and been tempted, and maybe what many a preacher has said to you down through the years comes to your heart and mind that I'm saying again to you today, the Lord could come back and catch you doing what you're doing. Would you want to be caught doing what you're doing when the Lord comes back? And you say, oh Lord, help me, I don't need to do that. Because you know He could come back at any minute, it keeps you to have that breastplate of faith and righteousness on. Right. That's what He's talking about. That's why He connected. That's why I wanted to read all this together to see this. The fact that when we're living in light of the fact that, guess what? He could call us out at any minute. Amen. That right there helps keep me to put the whole armor of God on. It helps me to stand therefore. Even in the day and the battle, when it gets hot, when the days get long, to stand for God, to have on the armor. Why? Because I know that this battle is about over. I know that in the end, we win. Amen. I know that in the end, it's getting ready to happen very soon. This has been a long battle. But you know what? The Lord's coming back soon and it's all going to be over with. Amen. And He's going to take care of it all. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. Keep on standing. The breastplate of righteousness. Keep doing what's right. But the third thing He said is the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the third part of the armor. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod, it means to bind underneath or to tie on. And this is something you and I really don't fully understand, I guess, at least I don't. From a practical perspective, I took and I looked it up on the computer and found these, and y'all have seen something similar to this probably in pictures, even little kids' pictures and things like that. But these are the type of shoes that they would wear, of course, a lot of times over in the Middle East and things. And you think about here, he's saying that word shod means that I said tie or bind underneath. In other words, they would have to take and tie up them sandals. Amen. Tie them on their feet, if you will, to keep them staying on. Amen. Thank the Lord. You think about our shoes today, we still have to tie them up. Amen. Some of them, unless you go Velcro and cheat, right? You got the shoelaces. You have to learn to tie them. Amen. To how to do the bunny ears and around the tree and swing past the knot and pull and see and all those types of things, right? It's important to have those shoes girded on. If you're going to run, if you're going to fight in battle, you better have your shoes on good. Amen. If you sometimes you see it in sports especially, the football player will be running down the field and a shoe comes flying off. That a lot of time hurts them from trying to get to where they're going, don't it? Every now and again they'll be able to keep on going, but not as effectively usually. Why? Because they're missing that shoe. But if you got the whole armor on, if you got them shoes on tight, if you're ready to go, boy, it makes a big difference in the battle. You think about the word shod means to bind underneath or to tie on. Our feet are bound to carry us to share the gospel everywhere we go. Amen. We ought to bind up our feet with the gospel to share the message everywhere we go. I thought about Romans chapter number 10. The Lord reminded me of these verses this morning. I know they apply, if you will, to preachers, but I believe they could apply in a sense to all those that share the gospel and that are ministers and just being a soul winner. In Romans 10 and verse number 14, it says, after for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We're all sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the what? Feet of them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. Amen. And bring glad tidings of good news. In other words, that reminds me of what he said about that armor, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. In other words, it's a beautiful thing in the sight of the Lord when we take and use our feet that He gave us to go as we go about and share the message of the gospel. Amen. That's what our feet ought to be carrying us to do in this battle that we're in today. Amen. I ask you a simple question. How do we know what the message of the gospel is? Where do we find out what the message of the gospel is this morning? Right here. God's Word. That's how we know what the message of the gospel is. One more verse and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Another good verse of Scripture. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Amen. We ought to be ready. That feet shod, it said back in Ephesians, with the preparation. The word preparation, the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, that word preparation, it simply means ready and a firm foundation. In other words, we ought to be ready to share the gospel, amen, of peace. We ought to be ready wherever our feet take us, wherever we go. We ought to be ready to share the gospel. We ought to have a firm enough foundation in our lives as believers that we can take and we're ready to share the gospel at a moment's notice. Amen, Brother Gary? If somebody down at Walmart turns around, looks at you in the line as you're loading up your groceries, and they say, "Hey, how do I get saved?" You ought to be able to take and tell them and be ready. Have a firm enough foundation, have enough, if you will, in being ready that we ought to be able to take and share with them the gospel message. That's being prepared, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Settled in the gospel message of peace and ready to share it as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today to know that we have the whole armor of God available to us. Amen. And I'm glad to know that if we put on the whole armor of God, guess what? We'll be able to stand. We'll be able to stand even in this evil day that we live in. Today I ask you, what are you wearing? Do you have the whole armor on? Are your loins girt with truth? Amen. Do you have these three pieces of the armor on today? If not, may I encourage you. May I encourage you to put on that breastplate of faith. Have those loins girt about and take and share the gospel and be ready to share it as you go about wherever you go. Let's pray.